We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
As a person of faith, I believe we are called to care for each other and work to ease human suffering. The full promise of stem cell research remains unknown, and it's about letting scientists do their jobs, and that we make scientific decisions based on facts, not ideology.
If someone would disagree with the church on abortion, I don't see how they can call themselves a Catholic. And the vanity or hurt feelings of an individual Catholic governor or senator or even vice president do not take priority over the faith of the believing community.
Christian film is bad film for the same reason that pornography is bad. It's made on low budgets. There's nobody in it with much talent. We all know how the story's going to turn out.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, Jeff earns his, I was going to say he earns his salary, but probably does that the rest of the week. Friday, first hour, Jeff earns his salary. Reading listener email, I can hear him back there before the show, busily tapping away and then reading quietly to himself, rehearsing every email word for word, syllable for syllable, so that you can expect a flawless rendition today of every single listener email as he reads it and as I respond. It's Friday, March the 20th. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Listener email in the first half hour on issues, etc., blog of the week. And then issues, etc., soundbite of the week. In the first hour of the program, we have four soundbites. We'll play them for you, and then you get to vote on them. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Second hour of the program brings us Tim Townsend, religion editor for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We'll be talking with him about a front page story in today's paper about church leaders responding to pornography. And then we'll conclude our five-part daily series with Dr. Alvin Schmidt of Illinois College, talking about the influence and impact of Christianity on civilization today, art, architecture, music, and literature. Now that is a big subject. Dr. Alvin Schmidt in the last half hour of the program. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Jeff, I neglected this earlier this week, and so I have to make amends. Tell us how the team has done.
We've got a new team, YMCA, City League's over with. That's when we won two games total through the whole season. And we've won our first two games in the YMCA League, mainly because Justin's fourth grade, but it's a combination of fourth and fifth graders. We got two fifth graders, not great players, but they're aggressive. Half the thing is these boys, like, taking the ball away from another boy and, like, going to get the ball.
And turnovers, yeah.
So I got two kids that are basically football players who play basketball, fifth graders, to add to our lineup and playing with me since second grade.
Now, I understand you had to get kind of serious with Justin at some point in one of these two games.
At halftime of the last game, or the previous game at halftime, I kind of grabbed him by the shirt, got in his face and said, "Son, if you don't start playing harder, you're going to sit by me the second half." He responded with 10 points in the third quarter. So, yeah, we were losing at halftime and quickly got a lead in the third quarter.
You found a way to motivate him.
Yeah, it's the Bobby Knight school of motivation.
Of course, it's not like you've been giving this kid a break. How many games did he play last weekend alone?
Yeah, last weekend, I think he was in six.
And he didn't play all the games he could have played.
I think, one or two more. Yeah, I think that's right. Crazy, crazy weekend.
Come on, Dad. This is my eighth game this week.
No, that's what Dad says, even though he doesn't play. He can keep playing, but I'm like, enough. And I love basketball. You know that. So yeah, thanks for asking. By the way, why are you so tired today? You've been sitting around here all afternoon saying you're tired.
It's been building up all week. I've been getting more and more tired every single day. And, I mean, it started with a bad night's sleep a couple nights ago. And today I feel like I've been up for like 24 hours. I do not know why I slept last night. I'm just tired. I could take a nap. I was actually sitting here about 10 minutes before the show trying to find something the blog post of the week, and this is no reflection on how interesting the blog posts were, but I actually closed my eyes and dozed off a little bit. Felt like the old program director at KFUO, kind of just sitting there with my eyes closed, and I realized I was very close to falling asleep. But yeah. I did manage to find a blog pick of the week. So
I'm tired because I stayed up late watching the Fighting Illini lose to Western Kentucky in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Which, by the way, how are my Missouri Tigers doing? It should be about halftime. They started about an hour and 10 minutes ago. I wonder how they're doing.
How are they doing?
Hey,
he'll find
check
them.
On that, will you?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with some listener email. This is Keith in North Platte, Nebraska. Following up on yesterday's conversation on the Augsburg Confession on the church, he says, "Greetings, fascinating subject. I'm not sure I can agree with the comment prior to your break. According to the confession, the church is the congregation of saints in which the gospel is purely taught and the sacraments are correctly administered. The idea that the Christian church remains when a less than pure gospel is taught or the sacraments retain some semblance to Christ's institution is very Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and very contrary to the confessions. The confessions specify pure gospel and sacraments rightly administered. The modern tendency to look for degrees of correctness has allowed for the inclusion of the likes of Rome within the Christian church, while that body denies the very gospel." Keith in North Platte, Nebraska.
Well, we have to make a very clear distinction here, and that is what a church officially teaches and confesses and practices. Practice is part of it too, you know. It's not just what one teaches and confesses. Teaching and confessions find their way into practice as well. What they officially teach, and in that case you say of Rome, this is not a Christian confession, but that must immediately be followed by saying there are true confessing Christians within the pale of Rome, even though their church teaches contrary to the gospel. And it's not that they don't have a less than pure gospel, they have another gospel. See, there's the category that I think we really need to understand. There is the pure gospel, and then there's another gospel. Look in Scripture. St. Paul never operates with a sliding scale or degrees of doctrinal purity. It's pure or it's false. It's the true gospel or it's a false gospel, another gospel. Those are the categories we need to operate with today. And he's quite right. The Lutheran confessions know only the pure gospel and sacraments administered according to Christ's institution. They don't know lesser degrees of purity. They adopt the biblical standard there. Now, he's quite right as well when he says it's very Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to talk about degrees of purity, how pure is pure, which is our way of trying to nuance what the Bible doesn't nuance. See, what's wrong with people who say, well, how pure does it have to be? I have to ask the question, why are you asking that? What's wrong with pure? We don't do this with our drinking water, do we? We really don't say, well, you know, I kind of prefer the 86% pure drinking water that they have running on tap down there in Mississippi. I prefer that. We want the water to be as pure as it can be. And if someone comes and tells us, you know, it's not completely pure, then we want to know, what are the impurities? So doctrine is more important than water. We want it to be pure. And it can be. Don't believe any pastor, any church official who tells you that pure doctrine is a pipe dream. It isn't. It can be. And if people want to compromise for less than pure, ask them, why? Why do you want to compromise for less than pure? I like the way he thinks.
Tim in Thorndale, Texas. I've been meaning to send this for a long time, even before your spring break last year. I would like to encourage you to not ever use the term pro-choice when referring to pro-abortion individuals. I say this for two reasons. One, the usual reason that pro-choice is a euphemism for pro-abortion. Two, the better reason is that pro-choice, pro-abortion advocates are anything but pro-choice. By this, I mean that they do not believe that the women have the ability to make a choice to not engage in sexual behavior that may result in an unwanted pregnancy, Or maybe they don't want women to be able to choose not to engage in risky sexual behavior. I sometimes state that I'm pro-choice and that I believe that all women should have the option to choose not to engage in sexual relations that may result in unwanted pregnancies. It's unbelievably disrespectful of women to say they are unable to control themselves sexually. So pro-choice is the ultimate in deception, writes Tim in Thorndale, Texas.
Well, it certainly is, but sometimes you're left with the parlance of the day. Lest you can be, do you want people to understand you or not? Do you want the average person to have a general idea of where you stand, or do you want to be oblique on purpose? So we use the term pro-choice because it is the term of art, and we would hope that even the least discerning of our listeners would understand that that doesn't mean pro-choice. Pro-choicers are not for choice, they're for abortion. The choice that they are for is abortion. And when you start to talk about giving women the opportunity to make a choice against abortion, that's when they reveal their true agenda. But if you're going to talk in the public square, sometimes you have to adopt that language with the understanding that it is less than perfect. You know, people say they talk about anti-abortion. And I would say, am I anti-abortion? Well, of course I am. I'm also against a lot of other things. But they don't want to give us pro-life because pro-life really does say what we're about. We are anti-abortion because we are pro-life. Think about this for a moment. Those who are for abortion are not for abortion because they're for choice. They're for abortion because they're for abortion. And look, if I had to choose between life and choice, I think I'd choose life. When we come back, more listener email. And then Issues Etc., blog post of the week, Issues Etc., soundbite of the week, the hour, the second hour of Issues Etc. We'll spend a little bit of it with Tim Townsend of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch talking about religious leaders speaking out about pornography, and Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest. We'll talk about art, architecture, music, and literature under the influence of Christianity. We're listening to your email, 1-877-623-6943, talkback. At issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back. You'll find a clearinghouse of Reformation resources at newreformationpress.com. T-shirts, music, outlines of important theological books, plus lectures by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. Check it out, newreformationpress.com. If you like Reformation theology, you'll love New Reformation Press. www.newreformationpress.com.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul. Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back. Wilfred Karsten, Christopher Lee Rose, Fred Hausman, Paula Schreckeis, J.K. Jones, Melissa Duncan, Ed Martirosian, Catherine Costin, Andrea Kane, and Margaret Meyer. Thanks for your support.
You're treating me as a serf lay members will become worker bees, and they will no longer be the fellow Christians working together as a community in the body of Christ.
The last thing we need to do, first of all, just in terms of faithfulness to the gospel, and secondly, even in terms of the effectiveness of our message, is to dumb it down.
The vanity or hurt feelings of an individual Catholic governor or senator or even vice president do not take priority over the faith of the believing community.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Some of the sound bites, or some of the four sound bites that we're going to be listening to a little bit later on the program and giving you a chance to vote on for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the week, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org.
In case anybody's counting, we just heard that last spot coming out of the break, the petitions. We did what we had 7,600 signers or signees. We're up to 5,800 almost. We're getting there.
You mean we're at 5,800 in terms of how many we've
read so far?
Read so far.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody even notices those. I know my mom does. She always listens, like, see if she a name she might recognize or something.
So that means we've been doing this at what, 8.5 months? So roughly speaking, it's going to take us about another, what, 2.5 to finish up to get to 7,600? Does that seem right?
Ask Craig. I'm not a mathematician.
I just know geography. What are we going to do when we're done with those?
I don't know. I have no idea. I know you'll miss editing them, though.
Oh, I will.
All right, let's go back to some email. Rich in Savage, Minnesota. I enjoyed listening to your listener email segment from March 13th regarding the continents, and I wanted to make you aware of a wonderful book covering this topic. The name of the book is What Your Kindergartner Needs to Know by E.D. Hirsch. It contains a well-written overview of each one of the continents, as well as some nice maps. I highly recommend it. Thanks for the recommendation, Rich in Savage, Minnesota.
So we had trouble figuring out where Kuwait was in terms of it's in the continents. And then that led to a discussion of whether or not Australia was a continent.
You kept coming up with subcontinents. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's an easy thing to say. Subcontinent sounds like maybe you know what a continent is. So it's easier to talk about those things you know about rather than those things you don't know about. So,
speaking somewhat related subject, Frank in North Carolina says, thanks for all your hard work, Craig. Your presence may not get as much notice, but it's certainly appreciated. Oh, one more thing. Not only do you bring an MBA, a Master's of Business Administration, to the table, you also bring a somewhat more, shall we say, complete understanding of basic geographic knowledge, says Frank in North Carolina.
Well, he definitely has more geographic knowledge than we do, but really, that's not saying a lot. I mean, he has more knowledge than two of us in just about every realm of human endeavor, but that's not saying a lot.
That's pretty bad we didn't know the continents, though. That's pretty bad.
Okay, who brought it up?
We talked about Bishop Swady having it. Wouldn't it be nice if we
I
could
brought
have
it up?
I
all
have
right,
issues,
never mind.
T-shirt,
I just remembered.
Right.
I just remembered.
On
I brought
all the
it
continents.
Up. So I accept full responsibility for revealing our profound ignorance.
Michael in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I heard your recent conversation regarding St. Patrick's Day and the color orange, and I feel pressed to weigh in with my opinion. In almost every case, the color orange should not be used to adorn the body purely for aesthetic reasons. The skin tone of Northern Europeans clashes painfully with bright orange hues and should be avoided at all costs. I cannot speak ill of the color itself, since God was responsible for its creation, but I feel that orange should be relegated to its natural place on flowers, fruit, and carrots. Michael, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I completely disagree. I think orange belongs everywhere. If I would, I would ensconce myself in orange. I would drape myself in orange if I could. I would change the colors of the American flag to orange, white, and blue if I could. I think orange is a great color. It's the great unsung color.
It is one of the colors of the great Edwardsville Tigers, so it must be great.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, think about this color. It does everything a color should do.
Here we go.
It's great for hats. I don't have any shoes, but I've got several orange T-shirts. You're looking at me. Why are you looking at me like this?
What makes orange great for hats? I don't know. Does it look good on you? Maybe it looks good on you. Yeah. You're an orange guy. You know, yeah. They say people have different colors. What other colors do you look good in?
I don't know.
Would Maria be able to answer that question?
Yeah, she would.
She would.
Yeah. But
call Maria, Greg. Let's call her. Would she go on the show? Yes.
We got time. Give it a shot.
All right. We'll work on that.
Well, now wait a minute. No.
Is she home?
No, she was getting her hair cut. She should have her hair done by now, but you got to give her a heads up that she's coming on the air. All right?
Well, that's no fun.
Don't pull one on me because I'll pay for it later, I promise. But go ahead, Greg.
Paul in Baghdad, Iraq. I just listened to the listener email podcast, and I would like to send you something related to my job and where I am in Iraq, which is north of Kuwait in Southwest Asia. I had this thought as I was leaving the gym, where I do most of my listening to the podcast. The motto of my unit is Lead the Charge. Issues, etc. does just that. The show leads the charge in proclaiming Christ and Him crucified for all. Thanks again and again. Lead the charge. Sincerely yours in Christ, Paul, listening in Baghdad, Iraq.
I like that. You know, we could turn that into a liner too, Jeff. We could just say, the liner could just be leading the charge, you're listening to Issues, etc. So put that one on the list. We're constantly, folks, if you have an idea for a liner that we could use, you know, at the end of every segment, you'll hear the voice of Issues, etc., Pastor Michael come voicing one of our liners, Christ-centered, cross-focused, preaching Christ and Him crucified, defending life from beginning to end, the LCMS canceled this. We have how many by now? Probably 20-some-odd ones. But we're always looking for more. If you've got an idea for a liner for Issues, etc., and you just, it's really got to be pithy, send it to us and we'll consider it. And you might even hear it on the air going into the breaks.
Paul in Ohio, thanks so much for the shows covering Dr. Gerald Kieschink's Blue Ribbon Task Force with Dr. Ken Sherb. Tremendously helpful. Dr. Sherb is knowledgeable and insightful and offered some excellent critiques and questions that need to be raised by the Synod if it is to make any such proposed change. We need to know what we are getting before we sign on carte blanche. Also, thanks for the show on Transforming Churches Network. I have known of congregations that have been involved in this, have even had some fellow pastors recommend it to me for my own parish. I have had an inkling that something might be off about it, but couldn't put my finger on it. Your show has provided me the ammunition to begin meaningful discussion. Paul in Milford Center, Ohio.
All right, well, thank you very much. And this is the reason we do these programs. We do programs on things like we know that it's inside baseball. Believe me, we know this is inside baseball. But we do stuff on Transforming Churches Network. We do stuff on the restructuring, Dr. Kieschnick's attempt to restructure the LCMS. Why? Because it is symptomatic of what's going on in the church in general. And because it is inimical to the gospel in many cases. And there are many of our listeners facing this in their congregations. And we know they need to hear about it. We know that they need to hear some solutions, some evaluation, some diagnosis, and some wisdom from people like Dr. Martin Noland. So thank you very much. We're happy to do it.
We've got a caller on the line, Maria in Waterloo, Illinois. Welcome to the show, Maria.
Thanks. Hi, everybody.
Hi, baby. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Jeff wants to know what color I look good in.
If you're asking me, I think the best color you look good in is a blue color.
Blue?
Like royal blue, navy blue?
Probably more of a royal blue.
All right.
Yeah.
What about it? Does it bring out something in his eyes? Or?
I think that's what it is, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but what do you think about me in orange? You know, I got a number of orange T-shirts.
You know how much I hate your orange T-shirts. I cringe when you wear them.
And I wear them like three, four days a week.
Yes, so, you do. Yeah. Yes, you do.
So how are things going at home? You're on the air, by the way.
Yes, I was told that. Yeah, I just walked in the door. Big surprise.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't bring my orange hat.
Look at, he's speechless, folks. Oh. Talks to his wife, he's speechless.
He's talking to his wife and he doesn't know what to say.
I'm all flustered. Still in love.
Oh, goodness. Good answer.
All right, baby, I'll let you go.
Craig wants to know how your haircut turned out.
Good.
Oh.
Still long.
Craig
I'm trying to grow it out.
Craig has the courtesy to ask my wife how her haircut turned out, and I didn't. Craig,
my husband would forget to ask.
Yeah, you're showing me up, Craig. You're showing
Craig,
me up.
There's hope for you yet. There's hope for
Maybe
you.
We'll get him married. Maybe we will. I love you, baby.
Love you, too.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye.
James in Hoopston, Illinois. Has it been a year already? For some reason, I am reminded of Martin Luther's words. I myself am deeply indebted to my papists that through the devil's raging, they have beaten, oppressed, and distressed me so much. That is to say, they have made a fairly good theologian of me, which I would not have become otherwise. Romans 8:28 also comes to mind. We know that God causes all things to work together for to good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. As a member of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Congregation since 1957, I had never even heard of KFUO, much less issues, etc. It was only after the furor rose over your firing that I became aware of both KFUO and issues, etc. Since that time, I have become addicted to the issues, etc. This in turn has led to my addiction of many of the other resources on Pirate Christian Radio. Since the sizable archive of programs from your days at KFUO are still available on the internet, I have begun reviewing the programs there as well. It's going to take me years to get caught up. I must also give thanks to your many guests, this is important, who, if I understand this correctly, are not monetarily compensated for being on your show. What a generous and quality group of people they are. I thank God regularly for the courage he has given to you to keep up this good work. May he continue to bless you and keep you faithful. James in Hoopston, Illinois.
James, thank you very much. You're right. None of our guests are monetarily compensated. They all do it completely out of their own generosity. We appreciate that as much as our listeners do. How much time they spend with us. For instance, coming up here in about an hour or so, Dr. Alvin Schmidt spent 5 days with us this week talking about the influence of Christianity. When we come back, and thank you so much for your kind words, when we come back, Issues Etc. Blog of the Week, and then we'll play Soundbite of the Week with you, our listeners. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Yesterday, I saw a bumper strip on a car that read, "Making your mark on the world is overrated." What a sad and pathetic outlook on life. I'm sure it was pure coincidence she also had an Obama sticker. Think of the world we'd live in if people like Abraham Lincoln or the Wright brothers shared this philosophy. Now more than ever during our nation's uncertain times, we should be encouraging people to leave their mark on the world. Whether it be ending abortion, sharing the news of Jesus, striving to be a political leader, or being a good parent to your 6 kids. 6 is the advice I give to my kids. Whatever your gifts, this world desperately needs you to be the very best God made you to be. Now go out there and leave your mark.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Susan Schultz, Herbert Wolke, Delpha Cadigan, Hal Reed, Ruth Hertline, Ronald Christensen, William Shim, Larry Huffman, Kenneth Johnson, and Laura Rydell. Thanks for your support.